chapter 2, and I want to thank all of you who gave us some joyful moments in the singing of those Christmas songs. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and then I will read you also from Luke chapter 2. But we've been on the theme of obedience, and today we have the obedience of the rest of God's creation. So, starting in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And then they ascertained where Christ is going to be born." Verse 7. "Then Herod privily called the wise men and learned of them exactly what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search out exactly concerning the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word that I also may come and worship him. And they, having heard the king, went their way. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house, and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." And now Luke chapter 2. We read of our Savior's birth in chapter 2 last week. So look at verse 7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found both Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken to them about this child. And all that heard it wondered at the things which were spoken unto them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken unto them." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, some have heard this Christmas story only read the times of the fingers upon their hand, and others of us have heard it for many years, and yet each time it thrills our heart. It does, our Father, not as other literature. That is so how we can be moved by any sentimental story like unto this, but thou dost know that we receive it as God's truth, that Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And for that reason, and for the reason that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, that is why our hearts have never ceased to thrill. They thrilled the first time, our Father, when we heard it and understood that Jesus died for me, and they have thrilled every time since, because with renewed understanding we have read this portion and have believed it, and it has become more meaningful to us. We thank you for this. And so once again, this Christmas day, our Father, we pray that thou shalt give us an insight into it. Thou knowest our sins, be faithfully just and forgiven, cleansed. I was promised to do this if we confess them. We confess them and prepare lips and hearts that Christ may be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. Over the past 8 weeks now, I've been speaking about obedient and disobedient things as well as people and creatures of God. And this week, it's the rest of God's creation being obedient. For this reason, we have found that a star was obedient to God, and now a new angel that hasn't been named. Last week, Gabriel was named. We are not told the name of this angel. And then there are wise men of whom we've never heard before, and there are shepherds. We've never heard of them before. And in all of these instances, there was obedience. Obedience of the star and of the angel and of the wise men and of the shepherds. And so that's the rest of God's creation. You may think it strange that I would speak about the obedience of a star, but I would simply add that to what I read to you when Christ rose from his sleep when a storm was raging on the Sea of Galilee, and he said, "Peace, be still." And it said that the winds and the waves died down, and there was a great calm. And this was the comment of his disciples: "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so wind and water, inanimate things, obey the Lord. Here are things of earth. But now we have a star of heaven, another inanimate thing, obeying the Lord. And so we have the obedience of nature. When our Savior speaks, nature obeys him. Nature on earth, nature in heaven, elements that he brought into existence. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that hath been made. And all of these elements that he created, he speaks. And it says, the winds and the waves, and now a star obeys him. And so he can speak in heaven, and there is obedience. And he can speak on earth, and there is obedience. And I did not explain this to you in detail, but he saw a fig tree that had leaves but no fruit. And he said, "No fruit shall ever grow on you from this time forth, forever." And the fig tree obeyed him. And so whatever his command is to nature, it always obeys the Lord. That is remarkable. He said this concerning his followers: "You shall say to this sycamine tree, be thou rooted up and planted in the sea." Now, how is that possible? I can understand making a request of you, and with your will and with the energy that is in your body, you could obey me or disobey. But I cannot conceive of something like wind and water and a tree and a star being spoken to and yet obeying. But God says they do. And for a moment, I would tell you about the obedience of nature, because it is startling when you read about it. I will tell you the passages. You will find in Isaiah and in the Psalms and in the book of Judges, and this is what it says about the stars, and it's mysterious, because it says that the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. What does that mean? It says the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. And it says in the Psalm that sun and moon are to praise God. And it says, praise him, all ye stars of light. Isn't that remarkable? God calls upon nature to praise him, as well as intelligent beings with mouths. And it calls it by name, stars of light, praise him. And in Isaiah, there was a profound portion. It says, lift up your eyes on high. Look as the stars come out. It says, who is the one that did this? Who is the one that created it? It says, he calls them out, and not one of them fails to appear. And so it is not by chance. God has put into motion all the laws of gravity as our scientists are able to grasp, but it is not that he has put them into force, and having put them into force, now, without any word from him, they continue. He upholds all things by the word of his power. All of the laws of nature continue to function because God commands them to function. And the stars come out at night, and all revolve in their orbits because of the word of God. Now, about this star, it disturbs me for this reason. When the word of God was written for the purpose of being believed. And here is what I found, especially among those that call themselves evangelical Christians, because if they believe in Christ and they believe in the Bible, then they are embarrassed at times because of what the Bible says. And because of that, they have to figure out some explanation of these embarrassing moments. And we read about a star that appeared when Christ was born. And we read about that star, and this is what is so embarrassing. It says, the star that the wise men saw led them to where Christ was and stopped over the place. Now, that confounds, because they say, well, this is something that is myth added to the story. Now, it may be that some stars were in conjunction about that time. Do you not understand that the author of Matthew is telling us that something miraculous took place. And God is not dependent upon all the wise and intelligent, supposedly Bible-believing Christians to try to figure out a configuration of the stars, and perhaps this is what those wise men saw. What configuration ever appeared again and moved over to where the Savior was lying or was born, stopped there and said, this is the place. What Matthew is telling you is that something miraculous took place. And all of us simple ones who believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be God manifest in the flesh, believe that God miraculously sent him from heaven to earth, we accept this. That this was a special star at the command of God, just as all the other stars come out at night, and the scientists, the astronomers, are able to tell you exactly when they're going to come out. What appearance they shall take at different seasons of the year, and they've given names to them. It says this concerning stars. It says that God tells them all to come out, and he knows the name of every one of them. He knows when he brought that star into existence, he knew how long it would exist, and he knew when that star would die. God knows all of that. He knows your parents, your forefathers. He knew when they came into existence. He knew how long they would live. He knew when they died. He can tell all the names of the creatures that have ever been born. And all of the stars, he calls them out. And then he knew the night that one of them would expire and its light would not be seen anymore. God knows all of that. And this is a special, miraculous star. It's the only way that you take it. And you say, oh, that is so embarrassing. Why, I thank God for it. I thank God that just it was a miracle when Christ, without a human father, was in the womb of Mary. I take that as miraculous. And I take it also as miraculous when that star appeared when he was born. And then when it apparently disappeared, because it says when the wise men came out, they had been searching. It evidently did not go the very time and stop over where Christ was, but they went and made inquiries and found out. And when they came out, they saw the star again. And then the star led them to where Christ was. And so, child of God, Bible-believing Christian, you are shut up to this, to believe in the miraculous and to let people ridicule you and laugh at you. Or else you can flee to the intelligentsia that will tell you that it was all just a myth, that it was all just something that was put into poetry. That was just put into poetical form, and for that reason, we are to look at it and kind of smile and turn the head to the side and believe some of it, if you can, but the rest of it reject. All God's words are inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This is what God wants us to understand, and this is what God expects us to believe. And so I tell you about that star. This way, the star that obeyed, as when Christ spoke, the wind and the waves obeyed. Isn't that miraculous? Isn't that marvelous? That on earth he speaks and there is obedience. In heaven he speaks and there is obedience. But now, it says concerning angels, and I may add this, if it were really a star, it may have been an angel that appeared as a star. This is not trying to beg the question, but when an angel appeared, this one that is announcing to the shepherds about the Savior's birth, it says that there was glory. And then in the book of Revelation, it says that there was an angel and that heaven was filled with light because of his glory. And it may very well have been an angel. God knows. I can take it as being a literal star that God made to do these things, or I can take it as being a star-like angelic being with such brilliance. And I do not know this. I know that there was one glorious angel, and it says suddenly there was with this one angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. Think of this great multitude of glory when Christ was born. And it says the angels, all of these angels that were on earth, it said they went back into heaven. And that is a scriptural reverent interpretation of what perhaps these wise men saw. And then again, this star, this brilliant light that they saw, the angel went and stood over where the child was. It could have been a star, a literal star that God created for this special occasion, or perhaps something like that. But I'm not trying to take away the miraculous. I'm just trying to find out what appeared before the eyes of those that saw and tell you what it meant for this reason. At times, it will say, two men appeared. And farther on, it will say, now the angels. What it means is this, that they actually were angels that appeared in the form of men. And at times the Bible will describe how something appeared, and then it will describe just exactly what it was. So when you read of the miraculous in the Bible, do not be fanciful and make it mean something it does not mean. But at the same time, do not be embarrassed and try to explain away the miraculous. Accept it, because God, in His time, will show what is truth. All right. We have the star that was obedient, and now we have an angel that was obedient. That is what characterizes angels. It says in the Psalms, and I do not give you the exact references so that you will look at me instead of the scriptures at this time. It says, praise Him, all ye angels that are mighty in strength, hearkening unto His word, obeying the words of His commandments. Think of this. It speaks of angels characterized by strength, and it says they obey, they hearken, they do the will of God. When God speaks, angels obey. There is not one good angel in existence that has ever disobeyed the will of God. How many times have you disobeyed God? There's not one good angel. You know the fallen angels. There is not one good angel that ever disobeyed a command of God. And God said to Gabriel, go. He was not like Jonah. When God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah said, Tarshish. There's never been an angel that God said, I want you to go to Nazareth. Nazareth. Yes, Nazareth. I want you to go to Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Yes, Bethlehem. Gabriel, any angel that was ever given a command of God, he always obeyed. And so think now. Here is heavenly obedience. The inhabitants of heaven, the angels, God speaks and they obey. They delight to go and give the message to mankind that Jesus Christ is born. Heavenly, yes, the stars. And so we have the stars of heaven and the inhabitants of heaven obeying God in His commands to shine in a special way, to go and designate the place where Jesus Christ is that the wise men might know, to go and tell the shepherds, as Gabriel was to go and tell Mary about this miraculous birth. And there is not one angel that has ever disobeyed God. They count it a joy to do His will. Here is this example set before the obedience of heaven. But now, we come to the obedience of earth. Because wise men are inhabitants of earth, and shepherds are inhabitants of earth. But we think more of the wise men as being the high of earth, and we think of the shepherds as being the low of earth. And this is what it says in the Psalms. It calls to men, both high and low, to give ear. And here, God has announced to the inhabitants of earth, high and low, something that has occurred, and He sees what they're going to do about it. There is no doubt, when He speaks to angels, He says, I want you to go, Gabriel, to Nazareth, and I want you to speak to Mary. How explicit. The star, He wants to appear at a specific time to shine and go to a certain place. But when it comes to the inhabitants of earth, there is no direct command given. This is what is remarkable. It says that the star appeared, and that's all they had. But this star was enough to create obedience in the heart of these wise men. And they sought to obey all the light that they had from God. And there is no command that is given to the shepherds. The angel comes and tells them of what has transpired. And this is what is so remarkable. When the angels leave them, it says, they said to one another, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass that has been made known unto us. That is obedience. That when a light from heaven appears, and you know that this is something of God, and all the light that God has given you, you're obedient to that light, and you follow it, And not only so, but here is an announcement made to you about the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the angel leaves you. What are you going to do? Why? The shepherds are going to obey God, take heed to the message that has been given to them, and the outcome is the same. Any man that is obedient to the light that he has from God is always rewarded. But the word that comes from God is not always in the same way, and it's not always to the same extent, and for that reason, the leading of God is varied. Now, how would these wise men, these Gentiles, because they say, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Not where is our Messiah born, but where is he that is born King of the Jews? How is it that these Gentiles would see this heavenly light and would understand that Christ was born and would follow all the light that God had given them to give homage to this King of the Jews? How is that? Whereas Herod and those that surrounded him had either never lifted up their eyes to heaven to behold this sight, or else if they did see it, they said it is some heavenly effect that has no spiritual significance. That's the way with some people. It is something that God is doing. It is some sign that God is giving. And yet all of us just look and say, well, isn't that a pretty star in heaven? And then we go about our business of being king and carrying out our wicked ways on earth. Whereas others see it, and just as even the Egyptian magicians, when they saw a miracle, they said, this is the finger of God. And so these Gentiles saw that light and they said, this is his star. The Messiah is born. The King of the Jews is born, and we are going to find him, and we're going to worship him when we find him. This is how God does. At times, he comes and tells you something directly. At other times, he gives you a little light, and you follow that light, and then he will give you more light, not visibly, but audibly. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And so then Herod and his wise men come to their assistance. They said, well, that's simple. Micah 5:2. He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's where the Messiah is going to be born. And so the wise men say, thank you. And they continue their search for the Messiah. So consider, here are those to whom Jesus Christ was sent. Because it says, he came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. Jesus Christ is born King of the Jews. And so the Jews, when they hear that their king is born, send Gentiles to find him. And if you find him, then I will come and worship him. But that evil heart of Herod said, I will come and worship him indeed. I will come and destroy him. And yet here are these Gentiles, and with the light visible that they have received, they follow that light. And then they have scriptural light that is given to them, and they follow that. And because they have been obedient to what light they have, the heavenly light again appears. And it says it leads them and stands over where the young child was. And they go, and what is the reward? They found it. They found it. The reward of obedience is discovery. God did not let them travel those hundreds of miles to be disappointed. But they followed in obedience to the light that God gave, and they found what they were seeking. Seek and ye shall find. Now in like manner, here are these shepherds, and they have been told there is born this day in the city of David a Savior for all people. And they said one to another, come, let us now go and see this great thing that has come to passed. And it said that the shepherds came and they found him. Both of them were obedient to God. And both of them discovered the end of that for which they obeyed God. Why did these wise men obey God? To see the Messiah. And why did the shepherds obey the angels? To see the Messiah. And it said, they found him. They found him. And so here are you and I. And the word of God is filled with promises. And God is saying, will you obey them? He's spoken to the stars and they obey him. He has spoken to the winds and the waves and they obey him. He has spoken to the high of earth like the wise men and they obeyed him. And he has spoken to the low of earth, the shepherds, and they obeyed him. And he's spoken to you. And what have you done? Well, if you disobey him, your end will be like Herod. And if you obey him, your end will be like that of the wise men and of the shepherds. You will see the promise that God has made to all people. And you will be one who has been privileged of God firsthand to see these special things he has for them that obey him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently follow after him. And so remember this, because so often we think it has to be the miraculous. You will find that not only in the temple does God make himself known, but he makes himself known out in the fields among animals. Because here are those in the temple like Anna and Simeon, and God makes his mind known. And here are those in the far east, and he makes his way known to them. And here are shepherds in the field, and he makes his way known to them. And so he can tell you what he wants you to know when you're in the temple or when you're out in the field, when you're taking care of sheep. You understand? No special place that God makes his will known. And so look for the will of God and listen for the will of God. And when you ascertain it, obey. He will not leave you unrewarded. Now, we have a special treat, a duet from Heather and Trina Moldenhauer, and they will take over the program now. With a word of prayer. Our Father, indeed, the angels announced the birth of Christ. Glory to the newborn King. How long ago this was. First, they looked for his birth. We're not looking for his birth anymore, Father. He has been born and lived and died. He's been raised from the dead. And he said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He came from heaven, Father, to our abode on earth. And he's promised to come from heaven to earth, to take us earthlings to his abode in heaven. We marvel at this. He came the first time in fulfillment of thy promises. He shall come the second time in fulfillment of his promise. And so we thank you for all of these songs that have not been sung in vain. And in the fullness of time, as God sent forth his Son the first time, in the fullness of time, God shall send forth his Son the second time. We thank you, Father. Great is thy faithfulness. We give thee thanks for all the meaning of Christmas. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.